Welcome to our time of worship together at Countryside Community Church. My name is Jim Hollister, and it is my honor to serve Jesus Christ with you as the pastor here at Countryside. If you are our guest today, we are particularly delighted that you have joined us, that you've taken time and set it aside to spend in worship together of Jesus Christ. Couple of announcements that I'd like to draw to your attention. One is that we have copies of the January-February 2021 issue of the Upper Room Daily Devotional, and they are available for pickup in the church office. You can get them during our regular open hours, Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., or if you really need us to, we can mail it to you. Just give us a call, let us know. If that will serve you. Our mission opportunities in the month of January are our mission basket offering will go to support the work of St. Anthony's Haven. That is a ministry that serves homeless folk in Scranton. And so we invite you to pray about how God would move you to support that work. And while you're praying, we'll also be collecting items for the Umpqua Flood Bucket Kits. There's more information available. Again, you can get that from the church office. We can point you to where that is available online, etc. Those kits are very helpful to folks who are recovering from floods, hurricanes, those sorts of things. So again, as God leads you, would invite you to participate in supporting that work with us in the month of January. And finally, starting next Sunday, January 17th, we'll start a new series called Half-Truths. And we'll be looking at a series of statements that sound like they ought to be biblical, but really aren't quite.
Sometimes half just doesn't cut it. Some religious beliefs are like that. You've heard the phrases, maybe even said them. They sound true, like everything happens for a reason, or God won't give you more than you can handle. Love the sinner, hate the sin, or God helps those who help themselves. But when we look at them carefully, we see they are only half true. Join us as we discover the whole truth behind half-truths.
Okay. In addition to that, we'll also again have our video Bible study series that will begin on Tuesday night, the 19th at 7 p.m. And then also on Wednesday mornings at 9:30. Those will be Zoom events And so we invite you to participate in that. We'll be basing our study, or our jumping off point, I should say, will be the book by Pastor Adam Hamilton entitled Half-Truths. So if you're interested in being a part of that, pick up the book. It'll give you a helpful background and begin your own thoughtful, prayerful reflection on the part of those things that is true and the part of those things that that aren't really, and how that affects us and how we should think about things like everything happens for a reason, or God only helps those who help themselves, and other gems like that. So we invite you to join us for worship. We invite you to join us for conversation and study as we look into half-truths starting next Sunday. There are, of course, a number of additional announcements, opportunities. These are all designed either to be a blessing to you or to help you be a blessing to others in the name of Jesus Christ. So we invite you to look at those carefully so that you don't miss something that will serve you as you seek to serve Jesus Christ. And I would invite you to prepare your hearts and minds as we join together and as we enter more deeply into worship.
Holy fast and holy. words entwined and actions thus, still seeking not himself but us. All glory to our Lord and God, for love so deep, so high, so broad, the Trinity whom we adore, forever and forevermore.
Welcome to Countryside Community Church, a United Methodist Fellowship. We're glad to be joining you in worship this morning. Please join me in our call to worship from Psalm 29. Give all credit to the Eternal, O heavenly creatures. Give praise to Him for His glory and power. Give to the Eternal the glory due His name. Worship Him with lavish displays of sacred splendor. The voice of the Eternal echoes over the great waters. God's magnificence roars like thunder. The Eternal's presence hovers over all the waters. His voice explodes in great power over all the earth. His voice is both regal and grand. We ask you, Eternal One, to give strength to your people. Eternal One, bless them with the gift of peace. Please join me in our opening prayer. Father in heaven, at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Grant that all who are baptized into his name may keep the covenant they have made and boldly confess him as Lord and Savior, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns, one God, in glory everlasting. Amen.
Hello, boys and girls. Welcome to our time together. I'm hoping that your 2021, your new year, is off to a great start. Wanted to tell you a story this morning about a guy who we call John the Baptist, or sometimes we call him John the Baptizer, because, well, that's what he did. He went around baptizing people, and he baptized them for a really important reason. He baptized them so that they would change their hearts and their lives and the way that they made decisions, that they would give that all to God, and that they would be forgiven for their sins. Later today, we're going to have an opportunity to remember our own baptisms, and we'll invite you, if you've been baptized, to get a bowl of water, and when we get to that point, to dip your hand in it and put it on your head, or maybe you want to remember that Jesus died on the cross for us and draw a cross on your forehead. Maybe you just want to put your hand in the water, but just to remember that you were baptized. We do this today because in the Bible story that we're going to read, John the Baptist baptizes Jesus. And there's a lot that we can say about that, but the thing that I really want to focus on is, that John was a unique kind of person. The Bible tells us that he was a cousin of Jesus. So here's a couple of pictures of the way that artists think that John the Baptist might have looked, from things that the Bible tells us and other things that they just kind of guess. Now you'll notice a couple of things that are the same about those three very different pictures. One is that his clothes are pretty scratchy looking. Bible tells us that he wore camel hair. So he wasn't dressed to the nines like, say, Cam Newton or some other famous people that we might know. He wore very simple clothes. And the other thing about him is that his beard and his hair looks kind of wild. People wondered, John, are you the prophet Elijah come back as we expect to bring in the world, the time that God would set everything right, the time of the Messiah? Is that who you are? And while the Bible tells the story of John differently to teach us different things, to raise them up, the one thing that they all, Matthew and Mark and Luke and John, they all have in common is that John is always pointing to Jesus. John the Baptist is never doing anything for himself. Now let's think about that for a moment. And let's think about how very different that is from the world in which we find ourselves. Right? John was not interested in building his brand. John was not interested in developing an Instagram following. John wasn't interested in making decisions so that people would think about John the Baptist. He lived his life pointing to the one who would come after him, the one that he said he wasn't even worthy to untie their shoes. That one is Jesus. It occurs to me that that's a pretty good lesson for us. That rather than being all about How do we get people to think great about who I am? How do I get people's attention? How do I hold people's attention? How do I make everything that happens in the world about me? Maybe we should learn from John the Baptist. And that our focus as followers of Jesus would be to do what John did. That everything that we do, the way we treat our families, the things that we say, the things that we don't say, would point to Jesus as the one who came to save us all. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for sending Jesus to us, and thank you for the example of John the Baptist. Help us to be like him and to live our lives so that we would always be pointing to Jesus, so that other people would know that he died for us and so that we can be saved. We pray this all in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Thanks, boys and girls.
Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. I'll be reading from the Common English Bible. The beginning of the good news about Jesus Christ, God's Son, happened just as it was written about in the prophecy of Isaiah. Look, I am sending my messenger before you. He will prepare your way. A voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make his path straight. John the Baptist was in the wilderness calling for people to be baptized to show that they were changing their hearts and lives and wanted God to forgive their sins. Everyone in Judea and all the people of Jerusalem went out to the Jordan River and were being baptized by John as they confessed their sins. John wore clothes made of camel's hair with a leather belt around his waist. He ate locusts and wild honey. He announced, "One stronger than I is coming after me. I'm not even worthy to bend over and loosen the strap of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." About that time, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee, and John baptized him in the Jordan River. While he was coming up out of the water, Jesus saw heaven splitting open, and the Spirit, like a dove, coming down on him. And there was a voice from heaven saying, "You are my Son, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Will you bow with me for a moment, please? Gracious and holy God, again we come before you. We pause because we really need to hear a word from you. And so we ask again, dear Holy Spirit, pour yourself out on us. Once again, take the words of the scripture which we share, the humble words which I will offer, and the thoughts of all of our hearts, and inspire them. Breathe life into them. Make them come alive for us, so that in them, we might hear the word of God, the word made flesh, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. So this morning our theme is the baptism of our Lord, and that's an important event. It's one of those things that when we think about the moments in Jesus' life that we want to remember as Christians, it's one of those things that the church year is organized around. It's something that gets lifted up, that Jesus went to the Jordan and was baptized by John. And so every year, particularly if you are part of one of those congregations that follows the lectionary that designs worship around those events in Jesus' life, his birth, his death, and things like this, then every year we pause and remember. In some ways, this week is very much like a repeat of last week's celebration. Last week, we called it the Epiphany. And Jeff did a wonderful job of presenting a word to bring us mindful of the things that were revealed about God, all the ahas that occurred. In the Western tradition of the church, Epiphany is that celebration of the remembering of the story of the Magi coming to Jerusalem to bring gifts to Jesus. In the Eastern church, that celebration of, aha, that Jesus is revealed to be the Messiah, the King, that aha revelation, they celebrate in the baptism of our Lord. This text, this story that we take up today. But particularly for those of us who have heard this story a lot, and maybe not particularly, maybe also for those of us for whom this story is new, there's a piece of it that may make us go, so what? Jesus got baptized. We get baptized. Big deal. What does it mean for us? What does it matter? Why should we care? Why should we celebrate it? Year after year after year. So let's take a look at this story, at what it reveals to us about who Jesus is. And maybe as we wander through that, we'll get some glimpses at least of, so what? So John has been baptizing for repentance, for the forgiveness of sins. And there's a whole lot of symbolism in this presentation of who John is. Mark starts out his gospel, this is the beginning of the good news of Jesus Christ, and then quotes from Isaiah, there's one who is calling in the wilderness, who comes to prepare the way. And then John is one who is dressed in camel's hair, who eats honey and locust. As one meme puts it, John was into the paleo diet before the paleo diet was a cool thing. Who John is, the way we picture him, is meant to remind us of the word that God had already shared. That there would be a day, that something amazing was going to happen, that God would not let God's people go forever. And as God had called us out, he'd called Abraham to be blessed, to be a blessing, to be a light to the Gentiles, as God had taken the children of Israel out of slavery in Egypt and brought them to a land flowing with milk and honey, as that story involves wandering around in the wilderness because we couldn't quite believe that God could really do what God was promising to do. As you may remember, God led the children of Israel and Moses to the edge of the promised land. And they sent reconnaissance force to see what they could see. And of the 12, only two said, "This is a great, this is everything God has said. This is the thing we've been looking forward to. We should go." And the other 10 said, "Are you kidding? We can't do this." And so they wandered in the wilderness for an entire generation. John is preaching a baptism full of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. This is not just, "Well, I feel bad, so I'll get baptized, and then I won't feel any." Boy, this is not Yom Kippur. This is not an annual thing. This is John calling people to change, to turn, to abandon their sinfulness, to recommit their lives to following God. And he does it standing in the Jordan River, the river that had separated God's people, the river they had to cross over to come into the promised land. And John, who reminded everyone of the words and actions of prophets of old, stands and says, "We need to change. We need to turn back to God. And God will forgive us. But we need to change. We need to put ourselves all in with God." And so Jesus comes down to be baptized by John. Now, this is really an odd kind of thing, because what we know about Jesus, what we know about Jesus from the rest of the story, is that Jesus had no need to be baptized for forgiveness. That Jesus had no need to be baptized to repent. That Jesus had nothing to turn from. And yet Jesus goes to be baptized. Because while maybe Jesus didn't have a need to be baptized for forgiveness, that Jesus didn't have a need to be baptized for repentance, Jesus had a need to be baptized. This is one of those events that in all of the Gospels gets recounted. Mark starts his gospel with it. John emphasizes how John the Baptist, different John. The Gospel of John emphasizes how John the Baptist was not the one and only pointed to the one. Matthew's gospel tells us that when Jesus came to John, John said, you should be baptizing me. I don't need to be baptized. I don't need to be baptizing you. And Jesus says, no, no, I need to be baptized. This needs to happen for righteousness' sake. Mark just skips over it and says simply that Jesus was baptized. Jesus has a need to be baptized that's beyond for repentance, that's beyond for forgiveness of sin. Because when Jesus comes out of the water, the heavens are torn asunder. Now, I want to pause for a second here, because sometimes we use this text to argue about how it is that people should really be baptized. And we should remember that this whole conversation about how folks should be baptized is really a relatively recent conversation. It starts in the 16th century. Before then, people didn't care how. People cared about what baptism was about, but didn't care how it happened. And Mark doesn't particularly care either. He simply says when Jesus came up out of the water, and whether you picture Jesus coming out of the water in this fashion or in this one, the text supports either way. The point is that when Jesus came out of the water, the heavens were torn asunder. And the Holy Spirit, as in the form of a dove, came down. And God said, the voice from heaven said, this is my beloved. Jesus has a need to be baptized as a sign for us. And it's for us in two senses. As John, the Gospel of John, recounts the story, John the Baptist thinks he's the only one who sees the dove. But even in that, Jesus is revealed to be the Son of God, the Beloved. Jesus is baptized, has a need to be baptized. So that the witness that God has claimed him, that what he's about to do, that the death he will inevitably end up facing, is not in vain, that God has not abandoned him to it, but that he is indeed standing directly in the midst of God's gracious love and God's deepest desires. And that Jesus has a need to be baptized, because it changes baptism and expands it into what we celebrate today. And again, we want to be careful not to get too mechanistic about our understanding of what happens in baptism. as we look at this text, as we look at, particularly in Acts, the way baptism gets talked about, as we look at how Paul talks about baptism in Romans 6, as we look at how that expands, it's not the hows. It's not the whens. It's what is happening in that moment. And that's why this matters. Because when Jesus is baptized, he rewrites what baptism is about. It changes what we think about. It changes what God does in and through baptism. And that's why the Gospel of Matthew ends with, "All authority in heaven has been given to me," Jesus says. "Now go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them everything that I have spoken to you." We are baptized to claim and to be claimed by God. Right? Jesus' baptism does not undo the part where baptism is about this moment of saying, "I absolutely commit my life to God." That it is a sign that we pledge, that we give our hearts and our souls to God. And again, whether we're baptized before and we live into that, or if we come to that amazing moment and then are baptized after it, baptism is still that symbol that we are baptized for repentance, for the forgiveness of sin. It is a sign, an outward and physical sign of an inward and spiritual grace that we claim God. That we claim Jesus Christ for ourselves. That we commit all that we are and all that we have to follow. But it's also a reminder that as the words came down, "You are my beloved," God claims us in our baptisms. That our baptism is also about recognizing that before we can even come to the point where we say, "I accept Jesus," that God has already claimed us. That grace has already surrounded us. That the Holy Spirit has already been at work to draw us to. In fact, that we can't even choose God except by grace. We are saved by grace through faith, not by our own works that anyone would boast. And this is why it matters. Because in this moment, when Jesus is baptized by John in the Jordan, our baptism is redefined, is expanded. And in all the stories we find in Acts about folk who got baptized and when the Holy Spirit became evident in their lives, before, during, after, what stays the same is that we are baptized to claim and to be claimed by God. And so I invite you to join me as we reaffirm this baptismal faith, this biblical claim that we make, this biblical claim which God has already laid on us. And so we'd invite you to gather up a bowl of water. And as we are reminded about what baptism is, the covenant into which we enter, we invite you to use the water, however that makes sense to you, to remember. To remember that we claim and are claimed by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this day, and every day. Grace to you and peace. And now I would invite you to join with me as we remember the baptismal covenant.
Brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. All of this is God's gift offered to us without price. Through confirmation and through the reaffirmation of our faith, we renew the covenant declared at our baptism, acknowledging what God is doing for us and affirming our commitment to Christ's holy church. Do you, as Christ's body, the Church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, please answer, we do. Will you nurture one another in the Christian life and faith? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround each other with a community of love and forgiveness that we may grow in our trust of God and be found faithful in our service to others. We will pray for each other that we may be true disciples who walk in the way that leads to life. Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father? I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Remember your baptism and be thankful. Amen.
Members of the household of God, I commend this church to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase our faith, to confirm our hope, and perfect us in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given us, and we welcome one another in Christian love. As members together in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. The God of all grace, who has called us to eternal glory in Christ, establish you and strengthen you by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you may live in grace and peace. Now I would invite you to join me as we prepare to give our gifts. We do this every week, and we always do it for the same reasons. Because it gives us an opportunity to express our love, our joy, our devotion to God. And because we are absolutely certain that God will use us and our gifts to accomplish what God wants to get done in our community and in our world. So again, I would remind you that our mission basket for January will go to support the work of St. Anthony's Haven. And now I would invite you to prayerfully give your gifts to God. Will you join me as we pray? As we give to you from that which you first gave us, grant, O Lord, that what has been said with our lips, we may believe in our hearts.
and that what we believe in our hearts, we may practice in our lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen.
As I went down to the river to pray, studying about that good old way, and who shall wear the starry crown, go, Lord, show me the way. Oh, sisters, let's go down, let's go down, come on down. Come on, sisters, let's go down, down to the river to
So this is the God that we serve. In Jesus' baptism, God calls us through our baptism to claim and be claimed by God. So we can go into our days absolutely fearlessly as we continue together to develop hearts for God in a spirit-filled community and to share God's love and grace throughout the world. Grace to you and peace. From him who is and was and is to come, and also with you. Amen.
God.